we live in a fast-paced world. So as a business or as an agency or as a freelancer, you want to be very adaptive and you want to work with the times, so you don't finish spending about 6 months and then discover that what you were building, either there are errors or the market even doesn't actually need it again.
The main idea behind the different methodologies is how to break down complex project or complex goals into manageable and executable chunks. That is the basic idea underlying all of them, from waterfall to whatever current iteration we are doing today. So we have a big nebulous project. How do we break this down into manageable tasks in order to achieve our goals, in order to successfully develop this project? So whatever methodology you decide to use, how does it help you? Does it help you manage your tasks, or does it help you break down your projects into manageable tasks? That's the operative question for all of them. And so if it answers that question, so of course they all answer that question to varying degrees. If it answers that question, then it's good for you. If it doesn't, it's not good for you.
Hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever and wherever you're listening to us from. This is the Creatives Chronicles, the podcast for designers and developers. Here on the show, we share our experiences, feelings, we keep it real. We explore topics and conversations to help you become a well-rounded professional. My name is Brian Temeka, and today, as always, I'm joined by the boss himself, the man, myth, and legend, Boss UK Chukunda. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Over the course of any kind of project, you would make a number of decisions. And one of the first decisions you have to make is choosing the style or the kind of product design methodology to follow and stick to. And there are a variety of options, from Agile to Scrum to Waterfall to even, I even heard of Kanban, or how do they pronounce it?
Kanban.
Kanban. Like, there are a number of options, and you would have to then decide which of them it's more better or would work well for your own project. The waterfall method that is a little rigid and more structured to others, like Scrum, that is easier to introduce and implement and is flexible. They all have their pros and cons. So how do you know and how do you decide which will work best for you? That's what we'll be exploring in today's episode. And if you're yet to subscribe on your favorite podcasting app or player, don't forget to do so. Just hit the subscribe icon or whatever player you're using to listen to us. All right? In today's episode, we'll cover the differences that exist between the Scrum, the Waterfall, and we'll explore other methodologies. While preparing for today's episode, I saw that the waterfall methodology was referred to as like the more traditional or like traditional approach to product development that is based on a series of step, like strict hierarchy and documentation, from project planning, designing, building, testing, and then deploying. And you'd have to follow it like in a cascading style, like it's the name implies, a waterfall. And I saw that it was like really structured. Boss, I can't recall working on any product and this method was followed. Maybe you could help us, the waterfall methodology or project development method.
Yeah, waterfall is a very old methodology. We first started at school. The software development cycle, the waterfall method. We were taught that in school, and I think we might have used it on, that might have been the methodology we used in our projects, but it's been phased out because it's not very practical, and it's the feedback cycle is too long. That's why you have newer and shorter methodologies with faster feedback cycles. I think that was the major disadvantage with the waterfall. For example, you can only go, what is called the waterfall is that one step feeds into the other, it's unidirectional, so you can't go back. It's when you get to the end because you see that testing is at the last or towards the end of the loop. That's when you find that something was wrong or something was spoiled from the very beginning. Then you will go back. And this might have taken weeks or months or even years, depending on the complexity of the product. It leads to longer development cycles and more expensive development cycles, because the errors, the problems that might have been cheaper to fix if they were found out on time, I almost never found out on time, and under the waterfall methodology.
Whoa, you mentioned that it might even take years.
For large projects like operating systems and the rest, and maybe process control systems, that take years to develop. It might take years to get through the whole process. And sometimes, let's say, if it might take you 6 months to a year for the organization to get through the other 6 or 7 steps of the waterfall, you get to the testing step at the end of the year or end of the 6 months, you have found that you have an error. You now go back again and start over. Running through the testing to fix the error. That's basically like doubling the development time. Just spent it.
Yeah. And that's not very practical in the day and age we live in, where everything is like fast paced.
It's not practical, it's not cheap. So basically, I'll be using a building a car as an analogy. So let's say it's when the car has been assembled and they're testing it that they find out that there was something wrong with the headlights or something wrong with the engine, or the axle of the car was not well aligned. You don't have to go back to the beginning of the development of the car. So you see that it uses the costs of developing.
Yeah.
It's going to take a longer time for that car to get to the market, and it's going to get to the market at a higher than usual cost.
Awesome. But is there a use case for it in product development, like as it is today? Like, are there times where it would be practical, like, to actually use the waterfall methodology?
For software development currently, I don't know. I don't think so, because I think it's better to have shorter feedback and longer feedback cycles. There might be, but I don't know of any. Or it might be in some other. There might be areas where the requirements of the situation plays to waterfall's characteristics. But for software development and in this current day and age, I don't think there is. I don't know if any organization still uses waterfall.
Oh, okay.
There might be, though, because there are a lot of old methodologies and technologies still used. But for me, I don't see. Is this advantage over the available alternatives to this development?
I think very not too relatable though for a number of us here. It's the Sentinel project of the I think it's FBI. While building it, they spent millions of dollars wasted because they were using the waterfall methodology initially when they started the project. Like, it was even abandoned. It was called the virtual case filing system. They wanted to automate their case filing system. Formerly, it was not automated. It was not digitized. It was very, very manual. Like, files have to be passed around in their offices and stuff. So while they wanted to build it, they had these consultant that was engaged to build a virtual filing system for the FBI, and they used the waterfall methodology. Like, it was amazing because everybody was looking at documents and seeing project requirements and seeing everything. It was like very feasible on paper, but in practice, it was disastrous. Like, I think it was after they decided to stick with the Agile manifesto, like using Scrum, that they got to have a working prototype built of the Sentinel project and completed. Shifting gears, the Scrum methodology is based on different sets of principles. It's flexible. It does not require strict kind of structure like the waterfall method. It is based on the Agile manifesto. In Scrum, my office will be actually use Scrum for some of the products we design and build. There are teams and we work in iterative circles called sprints. Like you mentioned, one of the disadvantages of the waterfall method was the longer feedback cycle. In Scrum, it is shorter because you have iterative cycles where you have sprints, and after sprints, there's always reviews, and the product owner can test and review and decide if the working prototype they have now is in line with what the project's goal is. For you, how have you been using the Scrum methodology, or how have you worked with it?
I think basically everyone uses that these days, to at least their own variants. So of course everybody is not going to stick to the two side of Scrum, but almost every team, well, speaking for myself anyways, almost every team works on or know about their development methodology, uses some fashion of Scrum or the other.
In real project times now, like let's give like a practical example. Say we want to, we have the Katana project we're about to start. Like, what would be the ideal way to handle it using Scrum, for instance? Walk us through.
If on side notes, Katana is the internal code name of Facebook Messenger. Most times, if you look at the internal class name on your Facebook Messenger, you see com.katana.
Oh.
That's an aside. Basically, let's see. Going back to the car example I used, for example, you can have a sprint to design the transmission, a sprint to design chassis, a sprint to design the gearbox, the gear system, the hydraulic system. So by the time the car gets assembled, you've worked on each component of the car to the satisfactory quality and standard, and all issues have been fixed during when each component was developed. And you bring the whole stuff together. That can also serve as a sprint to bring the whole stuff together. So when the car is rolling off the assembly line, it has each of the component parts has been tested, and the car as a whole itself has been tested and has been approved to be working.
That's
using agile methodology to build a car.
Okay, so component based, like you have milestones, then you break down the large project into manageable bits, and then you make them the goal of each of your sprints. You pick one, do that one effectively, have a working prototype test and get feedback, then pick another feature, build it out, and it cascades on the other one, and like the car example you gave, you then bring it all together and it fits.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. Then let's talk about the Kanban. Kanban, I think it's Japanese for visual sign or card.
Yeah, so Kanban, it is not so much a project management methodology as it is a way to manage tasks regardless of whatever methodology you're using. So a very popular example of a Kanban board is Trello. So obviously you have boards and tasks and everything. That's the basic construct of Kanban. You have boards and you have items in those boards. So what this means, let's say you have a board to do doing done. Your task moves from one. So you pick one item from your to-do board, which is what you'll be working on, and you move that item to maybe doing. When you're done, you move it to done. And they say it's basically a way to regulate your own work. So you don't take more than some might set the police, okay, I don't have more than one thing in doing. But I finish that one before taking another one. I don't have more than 5 tasks on the board at any particular time. So that's the way to organize your work, your task, regardless of the methodology you're using. So you could use it in the waterfall method, you could use it in the Scrum or Hybrid or Extreme or whatever methodology you happen to use.
Awesome. So it's not even it's not a product methodology per se, like you mentioned. It's actually, it can be layered on any project.
It's developed in the software industry or developed in the car manufacturing industry. So it's a way to regulate, to impose discipline on your tasks. So it helps you to guard against doing too many things at the same time, and also at a glance, seeing your progress. How many things do I have to do? How many things am I doing? How many things have I done? So you kind of a visual representation of the states of your task or project at that time. And it also serves as a buffer. So it helps to limit the amount of tasks. Let's say if your to-do has just 10 slots, it means that If you're thinking of doing 25 things, you have to think long and hard about which 10 you're going to put on your to-do. So it means you have to prioritize. So regardless of how many ideas come into your head, you know that I can only put 10 here, and I can't go to the remaining 15 of the 25 until I'm done. I've moved this 10 out of here, or moved a sizable chunk of it, so I can get space to put more. That's the whole idea behind the Kanban system.
Okay, cool, awesome. Is there any methodology that we've left out that you feel should be mentioned?
No, just like you have 1,000,002 JavaScript frameworks, so there are quite a number of methodologies, but they're not as many as JavaScript libraries, but or NPM packages. But I think we've touched on the one that's most popular. For example, the waterfall method, that's for historical context or perspective. Agile is basically what, in one form or the other, is really basically what everybody runs today. Most of the newer ones are basically a variation on Agile, basically, because they are all concerned with having faster feedback time, having a faster OODA loop. They might go about it in different ways, but the end goal is the same thing. Having a faster feedback loop, which was the major problem with the waterfall model. So I think even if we use retrocase agile, in principle, we've covered the main idea behind all the new development methodologies.
Awesome. So to recap, waterfall is traditional, is old, and it's for historical context, like you said, and it's for projects that you had to go through linear fashion, and it doesn't allow you to go back to prior phase.
Fun fact, on the previous episode, we talked about problems in communication between developers and designers.
Yeah. Where
depending on how the project is structured, the developers, the designers will design and go their way, and the developers will come and start struggling with the design. That is a feature of waterfall model, because waterfall model, you go from the system analyst to design the system, and you go his own way, then you now get to the design. So that's because the waterfall structure, that kind of problem happens a lot, because the two different steps don't work together. This one will finish a step and pass it on to the next step. So you now have all those communication gaps and mismatch. So that problem we talked about is something that happens due to the way waterfall is structured. It's something that happens a lot, the common occurrence in the waterfall model.
Yeah. Everyone working in silos and just passing down linearly cascading. And we don't want that for our project to be more effective. It would be good if whatever method you're using, it should be adaptive. It should fit your purposes. It should be something that you could break into smaller bits, manageable bits, and it's iterative. And we see that agile and any other modifications on Agile that would suit your own context would actually give you what you want for project, effective project development circles and effective project management also. Cool, cool, cool. We've basically covered all the methodologies there is that would be useful. All right.
Yeah, and the way we did it was covering the idea behind, because when you cover the idea of the principles, then you don't have to go through each and every specific example.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, mm-hmm. now the what's, even if Agile was developed in software, it is being used in other industries and other areas, other environments outside of software. And basically, the principle underlying Agile is the OODA loop. If you've heard of the OODA loop, yes. So that's basically, the OODA loop is basically, excuse me, about tightening your feedback cycle. So, and that is basically what is adapted to Agile. You have the OODA loop, you have your observe, orient, decide, and act.
Act.
So
yeah.
Your observe could be your sprint planning. The observe could be the problem and everything. The observe and orient are basically the comprise of sprint planning. Get the problem. How do we want to solve this problem? What are we going to do? Which is where the decision comes in. Okay. Creating the task, dividing them up. Act is basically developing the features, working features, testing them. And now goes around. So the model is the basic underlying principle of framework behind the Agile, because the Agile is now fleshed out crafted to suit software development. Although now too, it's used in other contexts, it's used in law firms, it's used in car companies, it's used in the health sector, in different sectors.
Yeah. I think it was Jeff Sunderland in his book, The Scrum, that talked about the fighter pilot thing, how he had military training and how they would go to war.
A fighter pilot.
Yeah.
James Boyle or something.
Jeff Sutherland.
I mean, the person that's introduced the OODA loop.
Oh, okay.
Fighter pilot, his name is Boyd. I don't know his first name now, but it's Boyd. And so he's the one that's originated the OODA loop. But it comes from the military. And because it's not only applicable to the military, it's applicable to every action, every sphere of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Like today's episode has been really, really insightful. Listeners out there, we're going to start working on something real soon. For now, we'll keep it, just anticipate something is going to happen real soon. We will tell you more about it in next week's episode. So stay tuned, subscribe. Don't forget to leave us some reviews on iTunes or any podcasting application you use. Leave us a review, subscribe on your favorite podcasting application, and you can send us a message, thecreativeschronicles.com/contact. Get back to us, tell us what you think, or make a comment on social media. Tell us on the post for this episode, tell us what you use to work for you, how, which methodology works best, or what are some disadvantages you've noticed in your the workflow or method you use in your office, and how you think people can implement or improve on it. Would love to hear from you. Boss, on a closing note, your final words on product methodologies and how we could decide and select which would work best for us.
Yeah, basically, I think what works best for you is what brings out the best in you. And the main idea behind the different methodologies is how to break down complex project or complex goals into manageable and executable chunks. That is the basic idea underlying all of them, from waterfall to whatever current iteration we are doing today. So we have a big nebulous project. How do we break this down into manageable tasks in order to achieve our goals, in order to successfully develop this project? So whatever methodology you decide to use, how does it help you? Does it help you manage your tasks, or does it help you break down your projects into manageable tasks? That's the operative question for all of them. And so if it answers that question, of course they all answer that question to varying degrees. If it answers that question, then it's good for you. If it doesn't, it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Does it work for you? Does it break your tasks down to manageable bits? Awesome. And you want something that would give you faster feedback loop, like Boss mentioned earlier, something that you can iterate and work, because we live in a fast-paced world. So as a business or as an agency or as a freelancer, you want to be very adaptive and you want to work with the times, so you don't finish spending about 6 months and then discover that then what you were building, either there are errors or the market even doesn't actually need it again. For myself and the team, it's been an amazing time today. Look forward to hearing our announcement next week. You're going to like what we are working on, you're going to like what we're working on. Like, I can assure you of that. It's going to be awesome. For myself and the team, have an amazing week. Remember to always be creating. We will see you next week. Thank you so much. Bye for now.